tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 12th of February 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's that time of the week again when we have a special guest on the show, and that special guest is geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, fresh from his heart surgery. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. It was just a catheterization. Something that I never heard of until very recently. And it showed my heart is very healthy in terms of blockages. So that's a relief. I'm here. I'm joined here by Marcel, who unfortunately has cancer. Big boy has been with me for 10 years now. But he may make an appearance. I don't know. But It's something that is nothing is life-threatening here, but if I had ignored it, maybe it would be.
Well, it's very good news. It's very good news, Matt, that it's nothing more serious, I think, to be honest. It's very good news. Also very good news that you're able to be here today within 24 hours of having keyhole surgery, which I think is
that's a
very good example that you are setting there, Matt. Well, today we're going to be talking about purges in the Chinese military. And why did you want us to pick this today, Matt? What was your reasoning?
Well, I looked up, whether it be Yandex or Google, the headlines that I came across with the Chinese military purges were so hysterical. There's got to be something else going on. And I know that this is just a normal order of life. Most countries have had a military purge. It happens all the time. Either these people don't know this or they're just using it. Shaking up the military is a regular thing. I've talked about the American case under Obama. It's also happened under Trump and Bush, which is one of the reasons why the U.S. military high command is a mess. Because once you... So, you know... But the interpretations, the crazy interpretations of the Chinese purge, it's not much of a purge. It's a handful of high-level officers on the corruption charge, among other things. They don't seem to know that this is normal. And so, the interpretations are out of this world. I can't believe what I'm reading.
So the mainstream media is making a big song and dance about this, and in actual fact, it's pretty routine. Well, we're going to start with a report from Reuters. China's investigation into its top general is taking President Xi Jinping's years-long corruption purge into his innermost circle, underlining that even close personal ties do not offer protection when it comes to loyalty to the party leadership. China experts... And Xi's move against his longtime ally and Politburo member, General Zhang Yuxia, also concentrates even more power in the president's hands, makes the already secretive command of China's military more opaque, and suggests that a near-term attack on Taiwan is less likely. Zhang's removal means that truly nobody in the leadership is safe now, said Jonathan Zinn of the Washington-based Brookings Institution, who called the investigation astonishing. He added that the probe marked a profound shift in Chinese politics. The change is remarkable, as past purges targeted people who may have had some overlap with Xi but lacked strong personal ties. This time around, the purge has crossed into what Xin has described as the asteroid belt of Xi's political solar system. Both Xi and Zhang are princelings, children of former senior officers. The 75-year-old general was initially expected to retire in 2022, but Xi kept him on at the Central Military Commission, the CMC, the Chinese military's top leadership body, for a third term, underscoring their closeness. So this could be two things, really, couldn't it? It could be that he's fallen out with his friend, or it could be that he's discovered that his friend and associate is corrupt. Which of the two do you think it is, Matt?
Well, I'm not sure why he thinks this, Jonathan Zinn, thinks this is astonishing. You know, when you have a strong party in power, they're able to do stuff like this. You couldn't do this. You know, you couldn't have, you know, your best friend getting purged. But he assumes that it means he's concentrating even more power in the president's hands. I'm not sure that that's the issue. He has plenty of power to begin with. They automatically assume the worst possible motivation. But there's nothing astonishing. This is after quite a while of corruption investigation. The actual proceedings are not public. I'm not even sure if this means it's a profound shift. This is just, you know, but it's true. They've known each other for a very long time. And it just shows you this Xi, the other interpretation, that he is a very principled man. And that he's not going to let friendships or anything else get in the way of eliminating actual corruption. So far, well, you see, I don't read Chinese, so but in English, there really isn't any reason given so far other than just that very vague corruption idea. But, you know, and you had to remember something else. Now, there's been a few in English and a few in Russian talking about this, that these were, a lot of these guys that were purged were I don't want to put it this way, you know, paper pushers. These were not combat. I don't want to say that about Zhang, but many others who were purged were non-combat generals. You know, they dealt with things like logistics and supply, and sometimes they were just, you know, princelings that were just promoted. But, you know, it's no, this is so very normal. And I can't remember the last time anyone was talking about a purge in China. So, you know, they don't do this very often. Of course, they're going to be secretive. You know, the U.S. has been surrounding them and provoking them for years. And I don't know if age had a factor in this. A few people are talking about that. So, you know, it's a simple matter of principle more than anything else. Even this, I brought in the Reuters article because it was one of the first to bring it up, and everyone kind of took it from there. And even here at this early date, you know, I have China experts in quotes. This isn't necessarily about power. I doubt that it's about power. And of course, the interpretation that means the near-term attack on Taiwan is less likely. I'm not so sure that was even in the cards in the first place. You know, there's so many. You know, the Chinese military is so large. There's plenty of people to replace him. And one of the things that come up in the so far in the articles on this stuff is that they've never had combat experience. Well, Zhang did in the war against Vietnam. But since China doesn't seek to build an empire, it's not going to have a lot of combat experience. They're fighting an empire, but that's it. I'm not sure once everything settles down, you know, what they're going to do about Taiwan. I don't know. I think that a war with Taiwan would be extremely bloody and economically disastrous, since the trade between the two countries is massive. Even when it was illegal to trade with Taiwan, it was still massive, believe it or not. But nobody is safe. Well, that generally suggests that corruption probes are going to go where they go. Money is not going to save you. Friendships aren't going to save you. And we know in the West, that's not the case. And it's very important. This is an extremely important issue. But because it's so ordinary, it's very striking. You know, I've been talking about the newsmen and talking heads who go on and on about the coming collapse of China, the coming collapse of Russia. They've been saying this almost every month for 10 years, 15 years. And it's just projection. They're living in a society in the West that's on the verge of collapse, and they can't handle that. This is not a profound shift in Chinese politics. So this isn't, this is nothing remarkable. And, unfortunately right now, there's been a rumor that there's been secret nuclear secrets that have been traded with the U.S. Some people have said that, some people deny that. That's the case. I don't know what secrets there could be. You know, China has a substantial military nuclear arsenal. So this is nothing. I don't think this is anything significant. It's very common. And it's probably one of the first times this has happened in China in recent memory.
Well, unless we have evidence to the contrary, we should be taking things at face value. This was a corruption purge, and even the people close to him are not safe from corruption purges. I mean, it looks quite positive to me. Continuing with Reuters, the Defense Ministry announced a probe on Saturday into Zhang, second in command under Xi as senior vice chairman of the CMC, for suspected serious violations of discipline and law. The military was one of the main targets of a broad corruption crackdown ordered by Xi after coming to power in 2012. The purges reached its elite rocket force, which oversees nuclear weapons as well as conventional missiles, in 2023. Two former defense ministers were also purged from the ruling Communist Party in recent years for corruption. In a front-page editorial on Sunday, the PLA Daily described the probe as a major achievement, adding that the two generals had seriously undermined and violated the chairman responsibility system. Under the system, Xi, as the CMC chairman, is vested with the supreme military decision-making. It also serves as the institutional arrangement for practicing the party's absolute leadership over the army, according to China's government spokesman. Zhang has in the past overseen the PLA's procurement department, which has become the target of a broad corruption crackdown ordered by Xi, but he himself has, until now, been spared. James Cha, a scholar at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies in Singapore, said that by placing Zhang under the probe, Xi has also responded to criticisms that his PLA anti-corruption campaign has been a selective process, that his fellow princeling gets a free pass. Zhang had got off scot-free after his acolyte, Li Shangfu, got into trouble in the latter half of 2023, added Cha. Former Defence Minister Li was ousted for suspected corruption in military procurement, but leaving the army leadership depleted and without replacements raises questions about how the world's largest military is run. It is honestly not clear how the chain of command should be functioning, especially since so many of the officers who would otherwise be eligible to replace the disposed members of the CMC have themselves been ousted, Brookings Jin said. While China has not fought a war in decades, it is taking an increasingly muscular line in regional maritime disputes, as well as over the self-ruled Taiwan, which is claimed by China. Beijing staged the largest war games to date around Taiwan late last year. With US President Donald Trump's attention elsewhere and Taiwan scheduled for an election in 2028, Xi has time to clean house, analysts said. Gutting the PLA high command suggests that Xi is not contemplating a major military escalation against Taiwan in the near term, but his crackdown is designed to elevate a cadre of more competent and loyal generals who will pose more of a threat in the future, Thomas said. Xi is a man on a mission, he added. He will do whatever it takes to ensure the party and its military are politically loyal and ideologically committed. Yes, but they say that this is all about corruption, not necessarily about making sure that people are loyal to Xi. And if this fellow Princeling was a friend of his and he removed him for corruption, then it shows really that it's not all about just keeping people there that are loyal to Xi, because one of the ones who you would expect to be most loyal to him has now been taken out. And also, I mean, this shows you how fixated with Taiwan the Western press are, really. I think they have to bring Taiwan into everything. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Matt?
Well, can you imagine, you know, the U.S. has depleted its own military stores in the Ukraine war. They depleted them even worse in Israel. And now they have to go in third place. The U.S. simply doesn't have that capability. But nevertheless, over the last decade or more, they have done everything in their power to provoke the Chinese. They surrounded the country with bases. It's extremely interesting. Now, the procurement department, that's where corruption tends to find itself. Buying of military hardware and everything else that an army might need. The U.S. is in no position to talk, since no one can audit the Pentagon. It's simply impossible. There's no records there. You talk about corruption. This is when the U.S. is beyond corruption. I think every army in the world has a procurement division. Now, I don't know if his friend was a part of that or not. It's very principled. And I'm not sure it's been gutted. Now, that was the case in Turkey. Yes, it was. And also, I don't think that action, in other words, an invasion of Taiwan was even considered. And it's odd how it's written here. It's designed to elevate a cadre of more competent and loyal generals who will pose more of a threat in the future. I don't know if that means, well, if they're already more loyal and more competent, I'm not sure how that would be a threat. So unless he's referring to Taiwan. But the very fact that he uses the word competent here, well, where do you get that from? I think you might be correct. I think over the years, the number of officers in the PLA the army has gone very, very high. And some of them just needed to retire. There's so many of them over the years. So they haven't fought a battle. They haven't fought a war. And it's because they're not an empire. That's the key. It's shocking to Americans. Well, you haven't fought a war? You guys don't have combat experience? Well, yeah, they're not building an empire like the U.S. They have a few bases outside of China, and that's about it. And they've been extremely patient with all the American and British and Australian provocations against the Chinese military over the last 10 years. Cleaning house, man on a mission. This is something that's it's in China. There's always purges of the military. But here you have something that seems to be very principled, because these are people very close to him. Now, he was 75 years old. He's saying that he's a man on a mission is a very positive concept. Politically loyal, well, that's, of course, very important. And ideology, of course, that's, to Chinese nationalism in general these days is very important. So I don't think that they've, now in terms of replacements, I don't think they know, or we know, one way or the other, who's going to move into those positions. China isn't planning on fighting a war anytime soon. It's not like the U.S. that's constantly fighting a war, because it's an empire who's ruled by the Israelis. This has nothing to do with any. This is just another matter of projection from the U.S. This attack on China from the U.S. press comes right after the revelations. Although we've talked about it for a long time. I've talked about it for a long time, that the Pentagon has redefined corruption. the Elon Musk, he tried. He really tried to audit the Pentagon. He couldn't. Ernst & Young, one of the largest auditing firms in America. If Ernst & Young can't audit the Pentagon, then no one can. And so they're acting like, you know, this is a Chinese problem. This is an American problem. But military procurement, that's where your shady dealings happen, and it happens all over the world. That in and of itself isn't extraordinary. But I cut out a lot of this article cited so-called experts on the question. And each expert got more and more hysterical on the reasons as to why. And yet they really don't know. Xi is not going to become a general and rule the military. Of course, he is commander in chief. But of course, there's going to be a cadre of younger, loyal and competent generals who are going to come to the fore. As I said before, a lot of these generals were not necessarily combat based. Their specialties were elsewhere, including procurement. Now, they think that the U.S. is going to start a war against them. Has nothing to do with Taiwan. Has to do with the U.S. You know, the whole Republican idea is to get away from Ukraine and move to Taiwan or move against China. And so he has to have a cadre of some of the best, most dynamic younger generals out there. Preferably, you know, they speak English, which is common in China. Especially, you know, they teach you that in school, and the younger generations especially know English, at least a little bit. So, you know, they're just, because there's not a lot of information as to the reasons why, and China has no reason to give information as to the reasons why, they just fill in the blanks with whatever they want. Typical media nonsense. But I have the feeling that's the point. The U.S. is, at least under Trump, is planning a war against China. Can you imagine the U.S. who... who now has nothing, and certainly doesn't even have the logistics to go across the world to get to Taiwan. It's planning on yet another war, another major war, and one on its ally, Iran. And yet they're doing this, and so the concept is we can't have 75-year-olds there. Nothing against 75-year-olds, but we need a younger cadre of men. Who are combat focused, not necessarily combat experience, combat focused, who can take charge when the hammer falls, assuming it does fall, which I don't know. The U.S. going up against China, you know, one-to-one, the U.S. is going to be destroyed. And so I don't see that happening, but you never know. You know, we can't use rational categories to describe American foreign policy. I think those are the key takeaways here.
Well, hopefully it won't come to military conflict between China and America. I certainly hope it doesn't. That doesn't happen. Let's have a look at some of these hysterical headlines in the West. China's disappearing generals, New York Times. China's military purge shows a regime in crisis, Left Voice. The real danger behind China's military purge, Think China. Is Xi's military purge a sign China can't yet match America's might? The Times. China's decadence in the military purge, Hudson Institute. China's military purge said to show corruption and weakness, Arms Control Association. Ruptures in China's leadership could be due to paranoia and power plays, New York Times. China's military purge, power, paranoia, and the silence before a storm, Modern Diplomacy. Yet military purges are a regular aspect of life all over the world. Few countries in recent memory have avoided it. Only in China does it get the hysteria mentioned above. No one uses such neurotic and absurd headlines to describe them when they happen elsewhere. Those at the major news sources, entirely ignorant on China, have created an array of nonsense theories about these purges. These are just a tiny smattering of similar and usually far worse purges of the army in recent memory. And we've got a long list of evidence here of various countries that have done the same. I'm not sure whether we will get through all of them. Let's start with America. And this is from 2013. What the American president calls my military is being cleansed of any officer suspected of disloyalty to or disagreement with the administration on matters of policy or force structure, leaving the compliant and fearful. Yet what has happened to our officer corps since President Obama took office is viewed in many quarters as unprecedented, baffling, and even harmful to our national security posture. We have commented on some of the higher profile cases, such as General Carter Ham. He was relieved as head of US Africa Command after only a year and a half because he disagreed with orders not to mount a rescue mission in response to the September 11th, 2012 attack in Benghazi. Rear Admiral Chuck Gawet, commander of the John C. Stennis Carrier Strike Group, was relieved in October 2012 for disobeying orders when he sent his group on September 11th to assist and provide intelligence for military forces ordered into action by General Ham. Other removals include the sacking of two nuclear commanders in a single week, Major General Michael Carey, head of the 20th Air Force, responsible for the three wings that maintain control of the 450 intercontinental ballistic missiles, and Vice Admiral Tim Giardina, the number two officer at US Strategic Command. From Breitbart.com's Facebook page comes a list of at least 197 officers that have been relieved of duty by President Obama for a laundry list of reasons and sometimes with no reason given. Stated grounds range from leaving blast doors on nukes open, to loss of confidence in command ability, to mishandling of funds, to inappropriate relationships, to gambling with counterfeit chips, to inappropriate behaviour, to low morale in troops commanded. Nine senior commanding generals have been fired by the Obama administration this year, leading to speculation by active and retired members of the military that a purge of its commanders is underway. Retired US Army Major General Paul Vallely, an outspoken critic of the Obama administration, notes how the White House fails to take action or investigate its own officials, but finds it easy to fire military commanders who have given their lives for their country. Vallely thinks he knows why this purge is happening. Obama will not purge a civilian or political appointee because they have bought into Obama's ideology, Vallely said. The White House protects their own. That's why they stalled on the investigation into Fast and Furious, Benghazi and Obamacare. He is intentionally weakening and gutting our military, the Pentagon, and reducing us as a superpower, and anyone in the ranks who disagrees or speaks out is being purged. Another senior retired general told The Blaze, on condition of anonymity, because he still provides services to the government and fears possible retribution, that they are using the opportunity of the shrinkage of the military to get rid of people that don't agree with them or do not toe the party line. Remember, as former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel said, never waste a crisis. So this does seem to go on with all different administrations. You know if Donald Trump has got rid of military? I should imagine he probably has, considering the sort of people that were appointed by Biden. Do you know anything about that, Matt?
Well, I was thinking more of the end of his first term. Where you did have some blatant, you know, acts of disloyalty. There was a shake up there, but nothing like Obama. This was written pretty much as it was going on. Later on, you realize the numbers are huge. Gutting, really, in this case, is absolutely true. Admirals, generals, even down to, you know, colonels, were removed for reasons mostly of ideology. The fear that the leftist president in power, there could be some sort of a coup, which in America doesn't exactly have a history of that. So I think a lot of this was mostly ideological, which continues to have all kinds of just severe ripple effects in the military, you know. And it's funny how he mentions that civilian appointees and all that, oh, they're safe. It's easy for you know, military men to be blamed, and which is the opposite of what she did. Everyone was on the chopping block. So the reasons given or no reason given, we don't know how true that is. There was no courts martial on any of this stuff. So, you know, this was just a removal of older, competent men. Now, you know, I'm no fan of the American Empire. I'm no fan of the American military, to be honest. But this was far worse than, as far as we know, what happened in China. And apparently, it's all been forgotten. Because a lot of the hysterical, far worse, the ones that you read, than my comments afterwards, that was just a smattering. If you look it up today, it's ridiculous. I love the paranoia one. You know, trying to give, you know, he's like Stalin now. Paranoia was probably my favorite one. And after that, well, he can't match U.S. The U.S. military might, which is nonsense. So he's trying to center all power in his hands. I don't know how that works logically, but. And today, if you look it up, it gets worse and worse and worse and more insane. And yet you just had this. There was a slight, smaller purge under Bush the Second, removing generals that were not quite enthusiastic about fighting for Israel. You know, this is a regular thing. So when you have in the West and in the U.S., when you have a purge, and this was massive. The numbers just keep going up. That means the people who replace them are not necessarily competent, but just, you know, ideologically harmless. And you know, and that has, you know, women or non-whites, whatever it is. And you have to be retired, as we see here, Paul Villeli. His writings are pretty funny, but back years ago. You know, if you're in the service and you say anything, you're in a lot of trouble. But this was far larger than what's happening in China. No one's quite sure the numbers now in the Chinese case. But in the American case, we are sure. And it's really, it's the people who have replaced them are now essentially, I'm not necessarily, you know, they're liberals, but they are weaker men who the Obama administration, the Biden administration, can then trust. And that's not exactly who you want in command of anything. And it is about getting rid of people who don't agree with them or don't toe the party line. So this was a huge crisis in and of itself. He created a crisis in the U.S. military. Any major commander, you know, colonel and up, worries about that. Certainly under Obama, under Biden, how long he'd be able to remain in power, or be a general or a colonel. These people weren't necessarily elderly or anything like that. But some of these people now this article. It's from a source that I haven't come across before, but it's halfway decent. Lists a huge number of the people and the reasons why, or the official reasons why. I cut all that out, of course. But you're talking about nuclear commanders and things like this. This is a problem. It created a massive vacuum, and I have the feeling that's yet to be stabilized. Trump watches the military as well. If you remember, when Trump was first elected, his first term, the Los Angeles Times actually toyed with the idea of a military coup against them. I couldn't believe what I was reading, but they did. And the only reason that could be even remotely possible is that anybody with any kind of testosterone had been removed previously. by Obama. I don't know if this disobeying orders. Well, there was no court martial there. He was just retired. He kept his pension and everything else. So the numbers here, there were hundreds who were on the chopping block with Obama. Even corruption wasn't necessarily the main cause. It had to do with gambling with the counterfeit chips. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Like, that would matter. Loss of confidence and commandability. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Leaving blast doors on nukes open. Well, how would Obama know anything about that? He doesn't know anything about military life or what it is to command anybody. Well, low morale. Yeah, low morale is huge in the U.S. military. It's one of its major problems. I am putting together a book on the crisis in the U.S. military. The content of it is completed. I have a little bit more to go. And, you know, it's essentially desertion is a huge crisis caused by people who don't want to die for Israel. They may say oil company, but they mean Israel. And being stretched so thin, the Navy is falling apart, literally. There's so many failed products. The Zumwalt project, the Zumwalt battleship, cost billions of dollars, totally failed. So many of these, it cost, you know, hundreds of billions of, you know, failed projects, suggest that there's simply no, it's like, you know, it's like the Three Stooges over there. And it shows you why, you know, the U.S. is not feared. It is not a superpower anymore. It's not an industrialized country anymore. But by the time his successor came in after Obama, U.S. military was in absolute chaos, and that is still the case. I think today the ripples from that are still the case today. Now, if Trump's going to do that the way that Obama, I don't think he will, but it's quite possible, because if people are being promoted based on ideology, then okay, that's a problem. But I'm not sure who's going to replace them. This was a huge event, and there were very few American news media outlets who even talked about it. You have to go to alternative media to read about this back then. The New York Times didn't talk about it. I think there was one article that was very vague. But most Americans have no idea, even educated Americans have no idea, that Obama purged the military in this way. Some of the articles I've come across suggest that the people who she has removed were killed. No, they were just retired. They have their pension and everything else. They were not humiliated in any way. So the American example is extremely important. They've forgotten this? Well, chances are they've never heard it in the first place. It shows the complete the bubble that they live in, the ideological bubble that they live in. They've probably never heard about this kind of thing before. You know, I forget the exact numbers totally. It was about, you know, 400 or up and up. That were retired, even down to the colonel level. You can't, you know, that's when you're running an empire with a million bases all over the world, that's the last thing you can do. So, and again, the shrinkage of the military? No, military budget has always gone up every year. And when you study the military budget in the actual budget, it's not just the Defense Department. There's all kinds of, and I've written on this too, you have to look elsewhere, like intelligence, for example, national security. A lot of off-budget things. You have to look there, too. You have to look at all kinds of, you know, they're not necessarily under the Pentagon budget. So you could say, you know, back then, you could say, okay, the military in the budget got, you know, $600 billion. No, it was closer to a trillion, because it wasn't just the Defense Department. It was all over the place. And they're always they're always blaming budget cuts. And that's the last thing that could ever happen. There's some Republicans out there now who want the military to be doubled in size. Can you imagine? Where's the money coming from? Well, maybe from China, I guess. I don't know. But it's not just they forgot this stuff. It's that they never heard it in the first place.
Well, I can think of one, at least one Biden-appointed military official that Donald Trump got rid of, although he did it indirectly, and that was Admiral Rachel Levin, who ended up leaving, I believe, because they banned transgenders from the military. So there's at least one that Trump managed to get rid of. I think we've got enough time to have a look at Turkey. Let's have a look at Turkey here as well. This is from 2024. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan shared updated statistics regarding the purge of military officers following a coup attempt on July 15, 2016, during a ceremony at the National Defense University on Saturday. He revealed that 1,524 out of 1,886 staff officers were purged from the Turkish Armed Forces, the TSK. Additionally, of the 32,189 officers serving on July 15, 2016, a total of 10,468 have been expelled. According to earlier figures announced by the Turkish Ministry of Defense, at the end of 2023, a total of 24,339 members of the TSK, including non-commissioned officers and civil servants, were dismissed. Ironically, the official account states that only 8,651 military members took part in the coup, corresponding to 1.5% of the TSK. Of those, 1,761 were conscripts and 1,214 were military cadets. Given the fact that some 150 generals and thousands of lower-ranking officers were sentenced on coup charges, military experts find it odd that such an insignificant number of troops took part in the coup attempt. Only 42 flag officers out of the 325 who were on active duty at the time of the abortive push managed to retain their rank or received promotions after the coup attempt, confirming the view that Erdogan's government was intent on transforming the military into a bastion of partisans, zealots, and loyalists. Turkish government run unofficial detention site in 2016, where thousands of officers were kept in inhuman conditions, tortured and ill-treated for weeks. Staff officers form the leadership cadre of the TSK and are considered the military's brain. According to unwritten practice, colonels who are staff officers, meaning those who graduated from the prestigious war academies, were typically promoted to the rank of general. These academies only accept candidates who pass a difficult entrance exam. Staff colonels used to speak at least one foreign language, hold master's degrees in non-military fields, and receive specialized training in war strategies, military tactics, and troop management. They were often assigned to overseas missions, especially within NATO, and military attachés were usually selected from among them. It seems to me that Erdogan has made good use of that coup attempt and got rid of a lot of people from the army that maybe didn't actually take part in the coup, but that he thought he would like to get rid of anyway. So, I mean, that coup really did play into Erdogan's hands, really, didn't it, Matt? I mean, what are your thoughts on what we've just learned here about Turkey?
Well, the Turkish purge, I don't think there's been any purge, even Stalin's purge, you know, relatively speaking, didn't have these kind of numbers. You know, pretty much the entire officer corps he's talking about here were removed. Now, I have a book out, as you know, on the Latin American military dictators, that these were good men, these were strong men. They usually took power in times of chaos. Almost civil war, economic collapse, and the civilian government was incapable of doing anything about it. You know, the banana republic concept. But the coup in 2016 was based on none of that. In fact, I couldn't make heads or tails out of why this occurred. The most I got out of their missives was their. Erdogan is removing Turkey from its secular course. That's as far as I got. It really didn't have a – it wasn't a civil war there. There wasn't a you know, it wasn't in cool conditions. It failed miserably. It was kind of a joke. Some people say that Erdogan did it on purpose. He was behind it. I don't think that's true, because that's playing with fire. But 1,524 out of 1,886, that's huge. That's the entire corps. Of the, 32,000 officers, almost 11,000 have been expelled. That's beyond chaos. So, that's beyond anything I've seen. That's beyond anything that's happened in China or any other place we can talk about. Now, that did get discussion in Western media, and it all came down to Erdogan's power play. Problem is, Turkey is the anchor for the U.S. in NATO. It's a NATO country, obviously, and it's very difficult to function, the U.S. to function in the Middle East without Turkey. Recently, as I think we all know, Turkey, I think for the first time, has vehemently attacked the Israeli regime verbally concerning Gaza. They've been doing this for a long time. I don't remember Turkey saying much in the past. This is nothing new. And I don't know if that has something to do with it or not. And it went beyond just military, teachers, judges, everything. He remade Turkish society. So it went way beyond the coup attempt. The coup itself, I remember when it was happening, Putin had warned him that there was some rumblings that this might occur very soon, get ready. And that may have been why it fit. It was a tiny handful of people. This is one of the worst coup attempts possible. It was almost a comedy. But of course, Erdogan realized that, it depends on the day whether I'm a supporter of Erdogan or not. It really depends. He's a chameleon. But without Turkey, the U.S. is in some trouble in the Middle East. And I don't think they have Turkey anymore. The vehemence of both military and civilian powers against Israel means that U.S. has to find another place to go, which would be probably Saudi Arabia, some of the Gulf states, UAE especially. So this is huge. This is beyond anything that China or the U.S. ever did. And the coup attempt was so weak, its reason for existing was so bad and so vague. I remember reading their missives. When they took over, they were successful in taking over the TV state, a few radio and TV stations, and they put out their agenda. I couldn't make sense out of it. It was so vague. It was too. When the military took over in Latin America, it was very obvious as to why. The communists were going to take over. The economy was almost destroyed. There was riots in the streets. And the civilian government either supported it or didn't know what to do with it. That's why they took over. Military men don't want to run government. They don't want coups. They have so much work just being a general or a colonel or an admiral. And now they have to run a country too. They know that it weakens them. They know that it weakens military readiness. They know that. But in some places, they had absolutely no choice. Here, there was nothing like that happening. And I found the whole thing very strange. Really, just a handful of men were involved in it. A couple of divisions, I think, blocked off a bridge, took over a radio station. That was it. That was it. So I don't know what they thought they were going to do. But this goes beyond anything but what happened in China. And because Erdogan is such a chameleon, the American press, sometimes they just said, oh, this is just about his power. Sometimes they thought it was a good idea. Sometimes they thought he was crazy. This was covered heavily in the press in the U.S. and in Britain. Just like the Chinese one, the U.S. was not. But this is... the military. I don't know how the military has performed in Syria. I suppose they performed okay. It's not against really a regular military formation. They've not taken on, when Assad was in power, they haven't taken on the Syrian army, but taking on a ragtag bunch of Islamic crazies. Well, that's easy. But I don't know if Turkey's military is ever going to recover from this. But without a firm, it's the second largest military in NATO. It is one of the most significant aspects of the whole NATO alliance. There was a time there before you went away, before you went to the can, me and you talked about the possibility of Erdogan leaving NATO altogether. If you recall, when they were buying Chinese and Russian, mostly Russian military equipment, they had enough with the U.S. But something happened. Probably he got paid off and switched back to the U.S. again. They went back to the Russians again. Now I'm not sure about the torture of some of these officers. I'm not sure. I mean, it's a Turkish prison. I mean, I have no idea. But since given the numbers, the sheer numbers of people arrested, I guess I had no choice. I mean, they had Turkey is a pretty much a first world country, with a first world military and a very professional one. So the entire thing was very, very bizarre. And the coup attempt itself had absolutely no reason for existing. I couldn't make sense of it. I don't know if the U.S. was behind it. Erdogan hinted at that might be the case. Putin knew about it, and he did warn him, and he took action ahead of time, which might be a huge part of the reason why it was crushed so quickly. But if you arrest just this tiny coup attempt, well, how many supporters did they have? How many friends did they have who didn't take action? Erdogan's response was extreme. Not whether you like him or not, it was extreme. And so the U.S. simply doesn't trust Turkey anymore as the foundation of its Middle Eastern presence. The U.S. had to go to Saudi Arabia and a few other places. Turkey now, in their vehement attacks against Israel, which is part of the reason why Hamas did what they did, because they knew that they would bring other countries into the war. Yemen, Syria, and very possibly Turkey, either directly or indirectly. And the possibility, the reason for that might just be these purchases years ago. Although, Israeli policy against Gaza had been pretty vicious for a long, long time. These are the Turkish one had numbers that no one else could put up. At least in the Chinese case, you wouldn't do that and make it public unless, there were solid reasons. The U.S. did it for purely ideological reasons. Here, it's all over the place. The coup gave him almost the authority and certainly the power to get rid of a huge number of generals. My God, these numbers are insane. A lot of young guys were very happy, who got very quickly promoted. But I think it's the same thing. For some reason, these guys want younger, more dynamic men who are up on the latest combat techniques and everything else. They want them running things, other than the older cadres from many, many years ago. That's certainly the case in China. In both China and Turkey, there's not really a whole lot of reasons given. Corruption doesn't tell us anything. But in Turkey, of course, it was just a handful of guys in the coup attempt. It went way beyond that. These numbers are ridiculous. No one has come close to that. This is beyond. Stalin didn't do this. And of course, again, they weren't killed. Although, going to these prisons, and again, I think that it's just because there were so many of them that the regular prison system they would use was overwhelming. I think the generals were able to stay at home, house arrest or whatever it was. So this was just an incredible thing. It did get a lot of partisan mention in the Western media, although their take on it was different. It wasn't a liberal conservative thing at all. And I found that very interesting. But these numbers are absurd.
Well, we do have quite a lot of other examples to have a look at. South Korea, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Argentina, Colombia. And they're all there in the notes, so listeners can view those notes and see the rest of those. Thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.